Last Lord's Day evening, we looked at Jesus' healing of a demon-possessed man. As Jesus exited the ship from that experience on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, there came one unto him who was possessed with a demon. And this man was one who was totally, completely controlled by the evil one, by the devil. He was living among the tombs. He was cutting himself and crying out day and night. He was stated by the community members of the society at that time as a lunatic, a crazed man, one who should probably be in the psych ward. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, the one moved with compassion, healed this demon-possessed man. He put his power on display and did the impossible. And this one who was out of his mind became in his right mind, and he was used as a testimony to show others that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the world. As we look at verses 21 through 34 this evening, we have now the healing of one disease. So we have in verses 1 through 20, the healing of one demon-possessed, and now tonight we see the healing of one diseased. If you will, follow along as I read beginning in verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Well, the news was spreading of the Lord Jesus Christ in the region of the Sea of Galilee. And as Jesus is performing these miracles, the multitudes are spreading the word that one named Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, is doing miracles that no man can explain. And as Jesus comes to the coast of the sea, one named Jairus approaches Jesus with a very pressing emergency. His daughter is very ill and is on the brink of death. Now, as we consider these things, we will not look at this instance, this circumstance, this evening, the instance of Jairus and his daughter, but we will pick up on this next Lord's Day evening. But our focus this week is on the woman who has been suffering an issue of blood for 12 long years. And we see the Lord Jesus following Jairus to his daughter who is on the brink of death, and we read that another woman who has been suffering an issue of blood for 12 years comes and presents her need. And from this need, we receive four truths that we learn about the person of Christ. And within these truths, we have helpful exhortations for us as we seek to know Christ and live for Him. So, if you will, I want to draw these applications for us tonight regarding the healing of this one who was diseased. And the first application that I want us to note from this passage is this: Jesus is never too busy to help us if we seek him. This woman approaches Jesus as Jesus is walking with Jairus because Jairus' daughter is at the point of death. I mean, Jairus wanted the full attention of Jesus, and in a sense, Jesus has given Jairus his full attention. Master, Jesus, come and help my daughter. She is at the point of death. And Jesus gives way to his request and starts following Jesus to his home so that he might heal his daughter. Now, we do not know that this woman with this disease, suffering from the issue of blood, knows anything about Jairus' daughter. Our best estimation is that she probably does not. A large crowd was following Jesus. There were probably many needs and concerns being spoken around the multitude. And there were those who were anxious, just like Jairus, seeking for the Lord's help, just like this diseased woman seeking for healing. But we find this woman overwhelmed with her own concern. She really does not know about Jesus following Jairus to this pressing need. Now, while she does not know the specifics of what Jesus was dealing with at that specific time, Jesus knew. As Jesus went about doing good to one, we find here, as the compassionate Savior, Jesus was willing to do good to another at the same time. We do not find the Lord pushing this diseased woman aside, saying, "Wait your turn." We do not find the Lord Jesus Christ dismissing this woman's case, saying, "I will hear from you when I am less busy." Rather, we read of Jesus taking interest in the one who had touched him. There's a great spiritual lesson here that would do us all well to remember. And the truth is that Jesus is never too busy to help us when we seek him. There are times that we may be tempted in our thinking that compared to the needs of others, our need is far more insignificant. There may be times in which we question if God will take notice of our concerns as God is governing the universe. I mean, you think about Almighty God, and Almighty God governing everything in the universe. There's nothing within the universe or world that happens without God's knowledge and even God's ordination. And sometimes in our finite minds, we may wonder and we may doubt and we may question whether or not God cares about our needs when he is caring for the needs of the world. We may think that God is somehow busy listening to the prayers of millions who are crying out to him for specific needs, that he will somehow overlook our needs. But this passage teaches us the very opposite. This passage teaches us that when we seek him and seek him with the whole heart, he will be found of us. Now, we may use the line of reasoning of people being too busy to help us when it comes to our fellow man. Man might be too busy to come to our aid and come to our assistance, and this is very true. He may be finding himself in the busyness of life and work and family that they can't come to our aid when we need them, but we ought never to use it with God, because God is our help in our time of need. God does not slumber, nor does he sleep. And we see here in this passage, Jesus is never too busy if we seek him. The second thing I see here in this passage is that Jesus can help us when men fail us. Notice it here in the passage. This woman suffers many things of many physicians, many things of many doctors. Now, if anyone could help her, surely we would think it would be the doctor. She has a serious medical condition, and out of all the people in society, the one person who could help her should be the doctor. The doctors are those who are respected and trusted in the community. Doctors are typically those who spend years studying that they may become experts on the body and medicine. And because of this, often among all people in a society, doctors are those who are very trusted. Now, to be honest, most of us do not know the particular about diseases unless you've studied them. When you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you something, 9 times out of 10, you're going to believe him. The doctor tells you to take this medication because it's going to help you. Most times, you believe their word. You go to the optometrist and they notice something about your eyes and they tell you that you need a prescription for your eyes, for your glasses. You're going to believe him. Most of the time, we don't argue, unless we're professionals in the medical field and we have some sort of background knowledge. Most of the time, we're not going to argue with the doctors who are seeking to help us because we know that, generally speaking, they are there to help us. I have never, in all my cases in the emergency room and visiting church members in the hospitals and being in hospitals myself, I have never experienced a patient arguing red in the face that the doctor doesn't know what he's talking about and that they should have the white suit on and play the part of the doctor. We place a lot of trust in doctors. And these doctors, notice, plural, not one doctor, but many doctors. These doctors could not help this woman. Here's a woman suffering for 12 long years, and she goes from one doctor, and the doctor tries to give her medication. The doctor tries to remedy her situation and all fails. She goes to another doctor. I think I need a second opinion. We've all been there. All right, so he failed. I'll go to another doctor in hopes that this doctor knows what he's talking about, in hopes that this doctor has gone to a prestigious school and does his homework. And so we go to that doctor, and in the case of this woman, she goes to another doctor, and he fails her. And she goes to the next doctor and to the next doctor, and it's the same story every time. And you can imagine the heartache she's dealing with. And not only does she go from doctor to doctor to doctor, she loses all of her money. She grows bankrupt trying to find help for her problem. And not only is she bankrupt, and not only is she discouraged, the Bible says that she only grew worse. Her condition with all these medications, with all these doctor's visits, were nothing bettered. They were worse. Verse 26. In this woman's life, the failing of men only caused deeper heartache and anxiety. And oh, how men will fail us. Remember, church, the best of men are men at best. Children, your parents will fail you. They are not perfect and sinless. They strive, yes, to nurture you in the admonition of the Lord, but they will fail you. Christians, your pastors will fail you. We are men of like passions, and though we want to walk in holiness and we want to set forth a godly example, we sometimes give in to the lusts of the flesh. Listen, married couples, your spouse will fail you. Your closest friends will fail you. Christian counselors will fail you. And we look to men for counsel and advice, for wisdom and guidance. We try to obtain comfort and encouragement in our times of distress and find that many times we are nothing better, only worse. But Jesus can help us when men cannot. With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. If we go to Christ, we will find Him to be an all-sufficient physician. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God, not man, not the pastor, not a Christian counselor, not your closest friend, yea, not even your spouse. God is our refuge and strength. Don't lean upon man because man is weak and finite and sinful. Lean upon the omnipotent arms, the one who cannot fail, the one who is perfect and holy and altogether good. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne of grace, the resting place of King Jesus, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And that is exactly where this diseased woman found help. She found it in King Jesus. She found it not in earthly physicians, but in a heavenly physician. Doesn't that teach us a great truth here? And so often we're tempted to lean upon man. I've got these problems. I got to tell you about it. I've got these problems. I've got to write about it. Everybody's got to hear about it. Help me, help me, help me. We lean upon man, and what does man do? He fails us. Oh, he tries. Man tries to help us. They do their best. But often the Lord is teaching us, man cannot be trusted. It's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in men. Better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Jesus can help us when men fail us. This woman is learning, man is finite. Man, even in his best, will try, but he cannot help. And when it comes to the spiritual things of God, when it comes to the soul, man cannot redeem us. When it comes to salvation, no man can save us. There's the illustration of salvation here. When we, in our sin, look to man, we find that we grow nothing better, only worse. When those who are in the various religions of this world look to the Pope, they look to the priest, and they think, oh, surely he has a special relationship with God, and surely if he declares me to be at peace with God, I can be at peace with God. Now, let's not just pick on the Catholics here. Let's pick on the Baptists, too. Sometimes even those in a Baptist congregation can lean a little bit too much on their pastor. And I've heard testimonies say, well, the pastor saved me. No, 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 no. No pastor can save you. No pastor, even in his best prayers, can redeem your soul. Oh, men will fail you, but Jesus will never fail. So look to the Lord. This woman had to learn that great truth. She had to grow sick of looking to man so that when she found the God-man, she found her only hope. But then we see here another wonderful lesson. And the lesson is this: Jesus honors persistent faith in him. Look at this woman's persistence. She hears of Jesus. She does not stop and say, well, I've heard that Jesus has the power to heal, but what if he doesn't heal me? She does not come to the multitude of the people and say, well, I've tried to go to Jesus for healing, but the crowd is far too great. Now, this woman remains resolute in her mind to go to the Lord for healing. Like the blind man who cried out to Jesus to have their sight restored, and the others around those blind men, you remember what they said in so many words? They said, be quiet. Stop talking. Stop crying for the Lord to help you. He is not going to help you. And the scripture says, and they cried so much the more. So this woman would not take no for an answer. Look at it. She said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. What is that? That's faith. I am convinced that this Jesus has all power and all authority to help me. I am convinced that this is the great physician. I am convinced that this is the God over the universe. And if I shall but touch his clothes, I shall be healed. She does not say, I hope to be whole. I probably will be whole, but I shall be whole. And how did the Lord respond to such faith? He heals her and says, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith. I wonder how many blessings we miss as Christians because we are not persistent in our faith. Suppose this woman gave up and said, well, Jesus is just too busy. The crowd is just too large. Well, from 12 years, she would go to 13 years, to 14 years, to 15 years, and so on. There are many who refuse to exercise faith in God because they are fearful and they are not resolute. Like Peter stepping out of the boat, we have faith for a short moment, then we begin to look on our circumstances. We begin to reason within ourselves whether or not God can help us. And what happens when we begin to reason and look around us? Then we begin to sink. We lose faith. Many remain unconverted because they refuse to exercise faith in what God, of what Christ has done. There are many still yet in their sins who are passively waiting, hoping that God will somehow awaken them while they sit on their couch. There are many who have tried to read the Bible and they have tried to attend the gospel preaching services for a short time and then they give up altogether. The many who say they try to pray for salvation and find it hopeless. I have heard many testimonies as such. Well, I tried to pray. I tried to repent. I didn't get anywhere and therefore I am done. And often in these cases, the one main element that is missing is the element of personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, see it here. This woman is coming to God. She's coming to Jesus. How is she coming? She's coming by faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? That he is God. That he is who he says he is. That he is the all-powerful, almighty, all-holy, all-good, all-gracious. He must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This woman has faith. She believes Jesus is. And she believes that this one named Jesus is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those who have persistent faith in him. This woman believes that God is. She believes that God will reward her faith. And thus she diligently seeks him. Let this woman's testimony encourage your heart to diligently seek him. Diligently. Are we this persistent when we have needs? I don't think we are. Do you have a spiritual need at this moment that nobody else knows about? Is there a secret sin that you want victory over? Is there a child that you are concerned about? Are there physical provisions that are needed? Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Jesus assures us that everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Don't give up in praying because you face a roadblock. Don't assume that it isn't God's will if it is truly in alignment with God's word. I'm afraid we give up far too quickly. And often that's how we justify. Well, it must not be God's will. I hit a difficulty. I hit a closed door. It must not be God's will. Sometimes by faith we need to jiggle the doorknob and see if it opens. Sometimes by faith we need to find the key and open it. If it's in alignment with God's holy word, if it's in alignment with God's holy will, sometimes it just takes our persistence to get through it. And sometimes if the door's locked, we just need to find an axe and cut through the door. What do I mean? Well, what if missionaries throughout the years gave up far too quickly? What if they did not have persistent faith? What do I mean? I mean Adoniram Judson to Burma, William Carey to India. Now, these men went years preaching the gospel without a convert. 7 years faithfully proclaiming the gospel, zero converts. Zero converts. Suppose they threw in the towel and said, "It must not be God's will. I must not be called to be a preacher. I must have misread his guidance to come to this foreign land. And now I have failed and failed miserably." What if that would have happened? There would have been no abiding fruit in the countries that they ministered. William Carey would not today be considered the father of modern missions. What if church planters and pastors, soul winners, gave up after handing out a tract, people denying, talking to their family members and friends, and being shunned? What if their line of reasoning, well, it must not be God's will? Where would we be without those who were persistent in faith regarding our soul? Where would we be without those pastors who faithfully preached the gospel so that we could know the Lord Jesus Christ? Where would we be without those parents and grandparents who labored in prayer for our soul? Where would we be without their persistent faith? I can guarantee you we wouldn't be here tonight. We need the yearning of Jacob when he said, "Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me." That's the spirit of this woman here. "Lord, I am approaching you, and I will not leave until I touch you and I am healed. I will not leave unless you bless me." We need this persistent faith. We need to trust in the Lord's word completely. We need to be convinced that God's word is a living book and that we can rely upon it and we can cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. Jesus honors persistent faith in him. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, you will see time and time and time again that Jesus takes notice of people's individual faith in him. There are two times that it says that Jesus marvels in the scriptures. The God-man, the God of the universe, marvels. And he marvels at a people's unbelief, and he marvels at a man's faith. He does take notice of our faith, and Jesus honors persistent faith in him. May he give us that persistent faith in the new year to come. And then our last point, our last observation from this text. Those Jesus heals are healed immediately and are brought into the family of God. Notice the Bible says, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." She persists in faith. She sees the crowd, but it doesn't cause her to step back. She sees the crowd and moves forward. She seeks after the Lord. She reaches forward and touches Christ's garment, and immediately she's healed. And as we read the accounts of such miracles, we remember that it's been recorded for us to teach us the way in which God saves a soul. All these miracles in the Gospels our illustration of conversion, of salvation. And we learn in this passage that when men come to Christ believing only in him, that they are immediately changed, instantaneously changed. The Bible says she was immediately made whole. She was immediately cured from her disease. And so it is when men come to Christ for salvation in a moment, Immediately, they are translated from darkness to light. Immediately, as John Wesley says, and can it be, the chains fall off. Immediately, we are made new. Old things passed away, behold, all things becoming new. Immediately, just like a birth. Immediately, once in the womb, immediately outside the womb. So it is when men are born again. Immediately, they're born into the kingdom of God. Now, why is this important? This is important because there's a teaching today that salvation is a long, drawn-out process. Now, we don't disagree that salvation is a process. There is a drawing of God, and that takes time. There is the conviction of the Spirit, and also that takes time. And there are the teachings and the illumination of the mind of the truths of the gospel, and that doesn't always happen overnight. There's the understanding of God. There's the understanding of Christ. There's the understanding of what Christ has done. There's the understanding of our sin, of our offense toward Him. And this takes time. We understand this. But we do confess that the moment of conversion is immediate. God says, let there be light in a soul, and there's light in the soul. What I'm kicking against is, it's not that we believe, and then we're baptized, and then we clean up our life, and then we graduate from confirmation class, and then we go on a missionary endeavor for 2 years, and then we join a church, and then we're married in a church, and we go through this process of salvation. Oh, no, no, no. It's nothing that we do that gains salvation. It is all that God does in us and through us by His grace. And we see this over and over and over again in the Scriptures. The lepers, when they are healed by Christ, immediately their leprosy is cleansed. The blind, when they are healed by the Lord, immediately their blind eyes receive sight. The demon-possessed, immediately they're healed. The impotent man at Bethsaida, Jesus immediately made whole. The lame man, Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The Bible says, immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength. And this was the case in the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. He was going one way, seeking the destruction of the church, and immediately God changed his heart, changed his affections, changed his desire, and immediately he preached Christ as the Son of God. That's the case in our life if we've been born again. When we place our faith and trust completely in Christ's sacrifice for us, immediately we are cleansed and we are made whole. Oh, I can tell you of the night in which the gospel was brought to my heart immediately. Oh, I knew that God existed. I did not doubt that. I knew that I was a sinner. I had no doubts that Jesus was the Christ, but that salvation, that birth into the kingdom of God. At Warm Beach Camp, Stanwood, Washington, at the age of 16, I remember immediately the Spirit of God bringing all these things to my heart and mind, convincing me of my guilt, convincing me that Jesus Christ has power on earth to forgive me of my sin. And as I placed my faith completely in that good news, the gospel message, immediately I knew that I was a child of God. And you can look back at your life and that turning and that faith and the immediate change. Oh, you didn't become a perfect saint overnight. But if you're a true Christian, there was a change. And there were new desires, and you didn't understand it all. And there was a new kicking inside your soul, and it was called the Holy Spirit. And the man that you once were, you were no longer. And the woman that you once were, you were no longer. And those Jesus heals are healed immediately, and those Jesus heals are brought into the family of God. This woman touches the Lord Jesus Christ, he turns, he asks, who touched me? This woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She was convinced that he was the all-powerful one. She comes humbly. What is the Lord going to do? Will he rebuke me? I am in desperate need. I needed help. And how does the Lord respond? He says unto her, daughter, daughter. Those Jesus heals are brought into his family. When we come to faith in Christ, we may be overwhelmed with his majesty. We may be overwhelmed with his holiness. We may be overwhelmed with his greatness. And we may come like this woman. Is he going to strike me? And we see, like the father in the story of the prodigal son, Jesus with his loving arms only seeks to embrace us. He says unto her, daughter. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As God's child, he will protect. As God's child, the Father will provide. The Father will comfort. The Father will guide. The Father will teach and discipline. This woman comes. She receives healing again. We see the illustration of salvation. And when we come to Christ in faith, we are no more the enemies of God. We are now the children of God. And by his grace, God calls us sons and daughters. And by God's grace, he treats us as not only heirs, but joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has for sin atoned. What a wonderful Savior. What a friend we have in Jesus. Remember these four truths as we recall the account of Jesus healing this diseased woman. Jesus is never too busy to help us if we seek him. Jesus can help us when men fail us. Jesus honors persistent faith in him. And those Jesus heals are healed immediately and are brought into the family of God. Let's pray. Lord, from beginning to end, your word is about yourself. The Bible is about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn all about him, his attributes, his love, his care, his power, his mercy, his faithfulness and provision. And Lord, may we be enraptured by his person. Oh Lord, we pray that Christ in our life would increase and that we would decrease. We pray with the Apostle Paul that Christ would be magnified in our body, whether it be by life or by death. And may the motto of our life be, for us to live is Christ and to die is gain. As we consider the great things that he has done in our life, help us to remember these truths. Help us to remember that if we seek you with all of our heart, you will be found. You are never too busy to hear from those who you love. Help us to remember that you can help us when men fail us, when we look to men and we rely upon men for help and we find them to be unhelpful. Oh Lord, may we turn to you and find that you are our all-sufficient Savior. Help us to remember, Lord, that you honor persistent faith, and perhaps our faith has been wavering, and perhaps we give up far too often in our prayers, in our trusting in your omnipotent arm. I pray, Lord, that you would convict us and that you would convince us that following you and placing our faith in you is sufficient. Lord, we pray, should there be anybody here among us who is without Christ, help them to look at this passage and to see the beautiful picture of the healing that takes place within our souls as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We pray that you would have your will and way in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.